Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. There's a story told of a man from Louisville, Kentucky, who needed to do business in St. Louis, Missouri. This was back in a day when Christians held out Sunday as a most special day. And for this man, keeping the Sabbath meant that he would not even ride the train on a Sunday. Since his business concluded late Sunday night, he needed to stay over in St. Louis until he could get a train back to Louisville on Monday morning. Sunday morning, he came out of the downtown hotel looking for a place to worship. The streets were pretty deserted on a downtown Sunday morning, but he finally found a police officer and asked for directions to the nearest church. The officer gave this man the information. He thanked the officer, turned to go away, but then turned back and said, "You know, there have to be a lot of churches in this downtown area to which you could have directed me. Why did you choose this church?" The police officer smiled and said, "You know, I'm not much of a church goer myself, but the people who come out of that church are the happiest church goers in St. Louis, and I thought you'd like to worship at a place like that." That sounds like a church infused with the joy of the gospel. It reminds me of a conversation I had a few years ago with a man from the Next Chapter's ministries houses, which are the four houses just north of Bethel on 3rd Avenue. Next Chapter ministries are devoted to men and women who come out of prison and are dedicated to changing their lives and to a growing faith in Jesus Christ. This man asked for some of my time one day. We sat in the office, had a great conversation about life and serving and faith. Then at the end, he said, "I want what I see the people of this church have. I want what I see the people of this church have. I pray that if people are looking for a place in Rochester to visit on a Sunday morning, that this place might be known for its love, its care, its joy of the gospel." A little girl was visiting her grandmother in a southern rural community. On Sunday, they went to a worship service where it was a bit unlike this little girl was accustomed. People were standing up and yelling and screaming and jumping around. We might call it a holy roller service. The little girl said to her grandmother, "Because these people are jumping up and down so much, does that mean the Spirit is here?" And the grandmother adroitly said, "It doesn't matter how high they jump. When they come down, it matters what they do. Then you can tell if it's real." Well, they were jumping and rolling and blazing and speaking and shouting on that very first Pentecost 2,000 years ago. They had been told to stay in the city, in Jerusalem, until they were clothed with power from on high. Little did they know what Jesus had in mind there. It hadn't been going real well for this little band of disciples. Jesus had appeared to them a few times in those 40 days between Easter and Ascension. They were still secreted away for fear of the authorities. What if the Jewish leaders or the Romans gathered them and did to them just what they did to Jesus? We read in the first chapter of Acts that there were 120 believers in Jerusalem. You know, that seems like a really small number to me, given the work that Jesus had been doing the previous 3 years. But then the day of empowerment came. 10 days after Ascension, 50 days after Easter. they, and we can presume the they to be the 120 more or less, were all gathered in one place. And the heavens erupted with violent winds. Flames danced on the heads of the believers. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They spoke with every language known to humankind. They caused such a commotion that Jerusalem, a large city, people heard, they came over to see what was happening. Some were amazed, others just sneered at what was happening. Peter preached a powerful sermon about God's sign and the power of the Holy Spirit. The sermon was so powerful that the people begged Peter, "What can we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven and that you may receive the Holy Spirit." And it worked. They did. Acts reports that 3,000 people were added to the believers on that day. That is explosive growth. Yes, from 120 to more than 3,000 people in a day. That is growth through the power of the Holy Spirit. So what does that mean for us in the 21st century? Outside of the Christmas Eve candlelight service near midnight, when we light as many as 500 candles in this place at one time, it's not likely that we are going to have fire dancing on our heads. And even on Christmas Eve, we pray that it does not literally dance on our heads. It is not likely that we are going to create such a commotion that people come over from Kmart and Soldier's Field to see what is happening and join in. I am never likely to preach a sermon that draws 3,000 people to the faith in one day. So what in the world does this mean for us? Well, maybe it means that we carry a spirit-infused message to the world that the world wants and needs. The world so desperately needs what the church has to offer. We don't need to rehearse the sordid details that we read in every newspaper about world and national events, that we hear on every newscast and every Twitter feed. Instead, maybe we need to carry a different story to the world that the world needs. A story perhaps about a man who, as a boy in Vienna, Austria, needed to spend evenings in a bomb shelter to save his own life. And because of what he saw in that war, he decided to come to the United States of America and become a doctor so he could serve people. A man of faith. He wanted to make this world a better place, even one person at a time. There are so many more of those people than there are school shooters. Maybe we need to tell the story of a woman who has devoted herself to prayer, spending a great deal of her day, every day, in prayer. While many of us are thinking about ourselves, a way to enrich our lives, maybe even on the backs of other people, this woman prays. She's always thinking about others. She's thinking about you. Maybe we need to carry to the world our ultimate victory in Jesus Christ. Second, we need to remind ourselves that no matter how high we jump, it becomes real when we come back to the earth. It makes a difference what you are going to do in the next 7 days. Immediately after that first Pentecost experience, the people became so generous that some of them even gave up everything they had to care for others. And the Lord rewarded this behavior to the point that he added souls to that group every day. I guarantee you, what you do in the next 7 days is going to make a difference in people's lives. The question is, will it be a positive difference or a negative difference? Will you be giving life to others, or will you be sucking air from the room? Will you be one who cheerleads for Jesus, or will you pretend like you've never heard of the man? People of God, the Spirit is all about us. May we use that Spirit to be a more Spirit-fueled church unto the Spirit kingdom. It's a great ride, better than any roller coaster. Amen. Please rise and sing our hymn 620.